Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of King's Dilemma. Here at King's Dilemma, we understand that all kings face difficult decisions on a daily basis. Heavy is the head that wears the crown is a statement that references the burden and the difficulties of being a leader. Any person who has ever had a significant position of leadership knows the meaning of this statement. And as leaders of our families and in our communities, we face difficult decisions every day. The goal of this program is to offer some perspective to our listeners and give them the tools to be able to make the best decisions for themselves, their families, and their communities. My name is David Andrade. To my left, we have
Leonard Chitange.
Ooh, okay then.
Dr. Charles Daniels, your favorite therapist. Let's get it.
You got your man Tori ready to roll.
Let's get it.
Listen, Tori rolling out here, man. Yeah.
Wow, let's get it.
We are back. Come on now.
Man, how y'all feeling today, man?
Woo. Feel good, man. Feel good. It's almost Friday. You know, it's been a long week, but feeling good, man.
Yeah, load up. Listen, today we talking money talk, man.
Hoo-wee. Can I hide?
Let's get it.
I like money.
You like money?
I do.
No, all right, let me ask you. We don't got the boards, man. I'm going to just ask y'all straight up. I want to go across the board. Yo, did your parents ever talk about money growing up? Leonard?
Not really like that. Not really. I think it's one of those things. I've seen my dad in action really, you know, handling his business, you know, traveling and money stuff. But the one-on-one conversation, I think, came like, I think later on, like during my high school years.
Okay.
Yeah, but I think growing up, it's kind of like I did a lot of observing, but I knew I was getting gifts and stuff. I knew like, oh, you got money, I'm getting gifts. We getting gifts as me and my sibling. But that one-on-one conversation, not really like that until, you know, like probably going to college and stuff like that.
Okay, what about you, Charles?
Money. Man, you know, for me, I thought money grew on trees like my son. You know, you give my son a dollar, he think he could buy the whole store. I was a spoiled brat. Listen, man, mom got me everything I wanted, everything I needed. I just wanted it and she got it. Mm. I really thought it was magic. Mm. Okay. Mom, I want a trampoline. I get a trampoline tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Mom, I want some chocolate. I get that Hershey's tomorrow. Listen, I was a spoiled brat. Mm. Me, I didn't know anything about money. If I asked for it, I got it. That's all I knew.
Mm. What about you, Tony?
Same thing. If I wanted it, I got it. But first thing came to my mind when you said that. See, that's part of the King's Dilemma. So now I'm thinking on a whole different level, a whole different angle.
Okay.
One time, I was at the circus.
Okay.
And this is the reason why I always said I want to be rich.
Okay.
One of them was philanthropy, right? But the other one is this. I was at the circus. And a person comes around making all that noise. Does anyone want to buy this? Anyone want to buy that? Mm-hmm. So I looked at the person and I'm like, I think I want something. So my mom looks at me and said, Tori, do you want something? I said, okay. And my mom like looked inside her bag. And I knew at the time we were kind of struggling. And so my mom looked at the bag and she was like, you sure you want that? Like, she'll buy me anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, I'm good. I don't want it.
Yeah.
Because I remember feeling like, nah, I'm not going to put my mom in that situation. I remember knowing that.
Okay.
Second thing is worst thing I felt like I had ever done.
Yeah.
I was at the ice cream place and my mom and my dad, we were all there doing our thing. And I knocked the ice cream on my mom's hand. And we didn't have enough money to buy another ice cream.
Like by accident? Or were you mad? Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we didn't have enough money to buy another ice cream. Mm-hmm. My mom didn't even know I knew that. I talked to her about it recently. She didn't even know I knew that. Mm-hmm. I would say probably like 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And I knew that my mom didn't have enough money to buy another ice cream. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I said, I'll never be in that situation again.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the reason. And most people don't even know the reason why I want to be rich, or the reason why philanthropy is so important to me.
Wow.
I never want a kid to be in that situation ever.
Yeah, that's real.
Over ice cream.
You know what's funny is I have a very similar story, like the circus one, but it wasn't with me, it was with my niece. I was like, I don't know, like 22, 23. I ended up taking my niece. I got free tickets to the circus through my job. I won through like a raffle. So I take my niece and like I'm on a budget, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm in school, I'm like, yo, I want to make this a very special day for her. And like me thinking like, oh, you know, I want to treat my niece good. I'm gonna give her some autonomy. I'm gonna be like, yo, mm-hmm. listen, you want some ice cream? I'll get mm-hmm. you some ice cream, but you either get to pick the icy or like a soft serve ice cream. And she's like, okay, I want the icy. She takes the icy. She takes like two licks of it. She's like, I don't like it. And she throws it away. And she's like, I want the soft serve. And I was like, I literally had to sit there and tell her like, I'm sorry, hon, but like, I'm tapped out. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, I got all, that's all the money I got. And like, it was kind of embarrassing to say that. And I was like, well, I told you you had to make a decision and you chose that. So now you got to live with it. And I'm saying this to like a 5-year-old child. And she's like, no. And she's just throwing this huge temper tantrum. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, I ain't never gonna take her out again, bro. Like, I can't afford to take her out. She's too expensive. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, she got, I was in my head, I'm like, yo, you know, I got champagne taste with beer money. So I just can't afford to kind of be on the level that I want to be. But I remember feeling bad about that because I'm like, how do I explain this to a kid in a way where, like, how do I tell my niece, yo, your uncle broke? I love you and I want to get you everything you want. I just can't. And I just remember being kind of frustrated at that.
There's a lesson there too, because I think there's a lesson when you transition from thinking money grows on trees to understanding that it doesn't. And that for me, and it happened like in a traumatic manner for me specifically, because I remember in my teens, my mom lost her job. She was diagnosed with epilepsy, had a major seizure. And essentially what ended up happening is that her job told her either you quit or we fire you, right? And you know, if she quit, she'll get a retirement. If they fire her, she wouldn't get a dime. And then I remember her losing all of her money. She retired in the stock market crash. So our lives transitioned, man. We went from, you know, middle class, me can have anything that I want, to being dead poor. So in that process of learning about money and how money doesn't grow on trees, I also learned about faith and how my mom was able to hustle and use her resources. Yes, I was a kid at the food pantries. Yes, mom had to squeeze that dime. Yes, we had to figure out how we're going to go to the church. I remember seeing my mom asking pastors for money to be able to take care of the bills because she couldn't afford it, right? So I learned a lot about money and understanding that when money is gone, you got to find ways to make your meat, to meet your means, because it just don't grow on trees. And for me, I think that could be a harsh lesson for a kid, but necessary.
Yeah.
Necessary lesson.
A one that prepares you for life.
Right? Absolutely.
So actually, let's like, how do you guys define financial success? Like, what's a number like that you think that, like, okay, if I get to this number, like, I feel like I'm good, right? Or like, what does that look like to you?
What you think, Leonard?
That's a great question. I think for me, it's kind of like, you know, if I'm buying a house, I don't have to, that's my home, car paid off and things like that. Because it's kind of like, I'm not going to say money is the key to success. I think I'll say that money is the key to, I think, stability, because it's money's not the key to happiness. I think I was struggling with that, because the same story was that you say, it was similar to my daughter growing up, going to divorce, broke. I never let her know I was broke. I was doing everything. I think I'm like, man, I gotta be, this is it right here, money and happiness. So I'm like, you know, stability, comfortability, and then learn how to manage, have a budget that comes over time. So I think that's for me to say, if I'm able to, you know, you buy a house and then your car's paid off and have a plan where I learned how to budget, you know, because I used to be like, if you give me $10,000, I'll go shopping all day, which is bad, you know, bad habit along the way. But I just feel like, you know, I'm going to keep it simple because it can be very overwhelming, stressful. I'm just going to focus on learning how to budget, learn how to manage, and just take it from there. Because the reality is, it's also connected. For me, I was angry at the whole money because I was connected to, because I intellectualize a lot. So I'm connected to society. I'm like, yo, capitalism is everywhere, man. I'm broke. I mean, everything is just so. So I'm like, you know, I'm keep it simple. Keep it simple. Budget, take it from there. Because if you think big, because it's become really sad. It's become really depressing because you're connecting. You have people right now that they don't want to have kids because of money.
That's
how deep.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to have to unpack. Am I making sense, right?
Yeah. For me, I'm already successful. I'm going to tell you why, man, because I think, you know, there was a point where I felt as if I had to get to this level to be successful, right? And I also remember where I couldn't even afford to buy my son baby milk formula when we first started Father's Uplift, right? Can you imagine? I told my wife, I said, babe, I remember we was in this apartment, behind our bills, son was crying, couldn't afford anything. And I said, baby, I can go back to work. We don't have to do this Father's Uplift thing because it's too tough for me right now. And I was crying. I was on my knees crying. She looked at me. She said, you know what? God called you to do this. You were ordained to do this, and I'm going to support you. My wife was only making $40,000 at that time. We already drained our savings, and we couldn't afford our kid any milk, living in the city of Boston in Dorchester.
Damn.
Right? So for me, today, I can buy my son milk. Right? Mm. So what makes me successful is the fact that I can buy him milk. Right? Mm. What makes me successful is that I have means to be able to get groceries. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know? And if I don't have those means, I know where to go to get them. You know, and also what makes me successful is that I'm not defined by figures.
Come on.
You know, because I think sometimes, man, you know, I think we get messed up as men when we allow figures to define us. And I say I will never allow a dollar sign with somebody else's face on it who doesn't look like me to define me.
Come on.
Right? Benjamin don't look nothing like me. I like a Benjamin. Right, but it ain't gonna define me. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I'll spend a Benjamin. Yeah. I'll throw some Benjamin. I'll throw some ones.
Woo.
But it will never define me. Yeah. Right? I can be broke right now, but as long as I have my wife, my kids, my sanity, my mental and my emotional health, nothing can break me, man. And that's how I stand. That's where I stand, brother. Yeah.
Before we go any further, before you talk, Tori, yo, can we just give a quick shout out to Samantha, yo? Because that is a beautiful story. She held you down. She didn't tear you down.
Come
she
on,
built
man.
You up. Listen, she didn't let you quit on your dream,
absolutely,
yo.
Right?
Listen, yo, shout out to Samantha.
Absolutely.
Yo. Listen, holding it down.
That's marriage right
listen,
there.
Listen, right
that's
there. Love. Yo, listen, you realize right now I wouldn't even have a job if it wasn't for y'all. Coming through with that.
Nah, that's real.
Oh, man. Yeah. How about you, Tori, man? How you feel about that?
Nothing I can't afford. Period. Like, I mean, and that's just based on what it is that I want.
Yeah.
So that's how I decide or define when I'm successful. So if I'm ever at a point where there's something that I want, but I can't get it, then I'm in a bad situation.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing that I want that I can't afford.
So it's interesting, man, because I think that we here at this table are in a privileged position, right? Like, I hear stories about people who like we can say money doesn't translate to happiness, but like Charles, you yourself has told me stories about like, yo, your son like loves to do everything with you. Like, yo, you bring him a piece of candy and he look at you like you the greatest father on the planet. And like, I think that that's like interesting to think about because like, we don't necessarily want to tie our worth to finances, but like, finances can make us feel good. Like if you got a little money and you can take your family on vacation, you can buy a new toy, you can put your kid in a really good school, whatever, like that can feel good too, right? So there is some type of correlation there.
I think
we can't put all of it on finances, but like, let's say you provide like a great life for your family and then like you lose your job. How do we then as men kind of like, how do we consolidate that with like us still being like good men and good fathers and good husbands?
I think the preparation here, Tori, I think you got a great point, but I think the preparation here is, listen, we ain't saying that money isn't good, but we is saying, hey, don't let it define you.
Come on.
Right? If I was in that position and I lost my job, right, I know that I'm covered, right, because I'm happy. Right, the job can't define you. I think the moment where you're in a predicament where you're defined by everything that you do, what you have, the fence, the house that you're in, right? My grandmother cleaned the houses of wealthy people in West Palm Beach, Florida, and all she wanted was for her kids to love one another. She was happy doing that.
Come on.
My aunt followed in her footsteps and cleaned the houses of wealthy people as well and cleaned hotels. She couldn't buy no mansion, but she was happy. And guess what? Her kids love one another. They have some of the closest bonds ever. So generational love, that's what matters to them, right? So I'm saying is, yes, get your money. But know that your money will never define you, right? But yeah, get your money. But never be defined by it, right?
And that's the question, because the question becomes after what Charles said, let's be honest. Is money the foundation? What's your foundation? Everything is connected to money. Let's be honest. When we talk about marriage, relationship, you know, Charles pointed out that is the question at the table. What is the foundation now of your relationship or of your, you name it? Is money the foundation? You know what I mean? Because that's the reality. Let's be honest. I mean, the stat, the research, you know, hey, financial stability is the key, you know, but how many times, you know, people break up or end up in divorce because of money?
Number one, divorce. Reason for divorce.
And connected to society. Mother Teresa, I remember she gave a speech in Harvard. She was just like, the United States is very rich, you know, capitalism, money and all that. But when I give it back to the poor, they're so happy. But it's not money over there in India where she was doing the stuff. That's just a question, man. You know.
Well, you made me think of something. So, I mean, you asking the fundamental question, like, is money foundation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, are we gonna be real about it?
Yeah.
So there's the beautiful story of we broke, but we love each other.
Mm.
Well, I'm on the opposite end of it. We have money, so we can work on our love.
Word.
Yeah.
Word.
So let's not be fools about the situation. Mm. Right? Yeah. So that there has to be a foundation here, right? I don't want to live a life of poverty.
Talk this shit. Yo, that's
plain, right. Right. Right.
It's,
okay.
It's,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
It's just plain false, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to suggest that anybody wants to, right? But it's just plain false. So the efforts that I'm making to stay in a spot in which I'm never in an area where I need something,
mm-hmm.
or if I need something, I can get it. I don't know if I heard anybody say this right, but what is capital, right? Mm. So you got social capital, you got cultural capital, and you got real capital is in your money, right?
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. The way that I look at it is like this. My social and cultural capital is so high that I'll never be in a position in which I can't afford something. And that's what I mean by that. Like I define it as when I said my main goal is to be in a spot in which there's nothing I can ever get.
Mm-hmm.
And let's look at the table we at right now, right? What if I went through a mental health breakdown right now?
Mm-hmm.
I'm straight.
No. You got people to hold.
Yeah, pick, yeah, like yeah. Pick something. Like mm-hmm. y'all pick something right now. Ask me if I can get it. Pick something. Pick something. Like, you know, let's see if I'm playing games.
I mean, you ain't playing the games, but I want to add to that, yeah. Right?
Well, because no, add to it. I said, ask me a question.
No, I can't ask you a question because David's asking the questions.
I asked you for your theory.
Oh, no, I ain't giving you no damn theory. But what I am going to tell you, right, is that, you know, this is a great conversation because I think what
thinking,
we don't
man.
Want to happen is that I don't want a young brother listening to this think that he has to get some Balenciagas to be successful, right? I don't want no one thinking that they got to buy a Benz to be successful.
Come on.
Or they can't afford a Benz, they're not successful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. No, that's BS, right? Just because you can't afford a Benz does not mean you're not successful. Here in your kids' lives, you're successful, right? Because I know many successful men who are not in their kids' lives, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at some of the successful people who died, had all the money in the world, but they were not happy inside.
Come on.
Right? I don't think you can have financial happiness and not be emotionally happy. Right, I think you have to be happy emotionally and internally to even enjoy financial wealth.
Right.
And I don't think you can get financial wealth and sustain financial wealth if you're not enjoying what you're doing. You know what I'm saying? Because I know people who are really wealthy who enjoy what they're doing.
Yeah.
Right. They enjoy how they got there.
Yeah.
Right. You can be wealthy, miserable as hell, and your family at home don't have you there, and they're sad because you're not there.
Yeah.
And then what you got to live? What you got to live for? Right. What the money that you're making? Right, yeah. So let's not get it twisted. If you listen to this, we ain't saying that, hey, you got to get Kanye West shoes to be successful. Or you got to be able to afford it to be successful. You don't. But also don't break the bank trying to be like everybody else.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you, so Charles, do you break the bank trying to get access to happiness?
Do I break the bank trying to get access to happiness?
That's what we're saying. That's what we got to do, right? We got to break the bank to get access to happiness.
You got to have a balance.
So here's what I'm getting at, right, when I say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying this. Like I said, we're in the context of a mental health, right? I said, look, if I went through a mental health breakdown right now, right, then I know I can go to Father's Uplift and get some assistance.
Mm. Yeah.
Right? So I'm straight. Yeah. And that's why I raised the question. I said, well, pick something, right? That's why I raised the question. That's why I gave a contextual question. Like, pick something. Let's see if I'm lying. And this is not like, I don't mean me, so I can be personal and say it. But I mean, when you make a statement like, I'm all set, it's like, that just can't be true, right? It sounds like it's not plausible.
But you don't got to break the bank to be happy.
Nah, you don't have to break the bank to be happy. What you do need, though, is you need the social and the cultural capital. You need
absolutely.
That, right? So.
And that could be free.
No, not that it could be free. It is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Social and cultural capital, free.
And you also can pay for social and cultural capital.
You can do that, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, yes,
right? So it can be free or you can pay for it. Yeah.
Yeah. Do the reading. Yeah. But if you have a willingness, right? If I'm walking up the street and I say, okay, I'm struggling right now. This is what I got to do. I'm going to go inside of this clinic because I'm going to admit to myself that I'm struggling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, all right, cool. We're going to take care of you. You a strong person. And you're a person that's building that social and that cultural capital. That's what you need. So my assertion to y'all is that social and cultural capital is more important than real capital.
Interesting. That's so you know assertion. What? Actually, that's I would a, say someone like Muhammad Ali would say that, right? Because Muhammad Ali walked away from boxing. He turned down the money. It was like, yo, I'm doing this for the people, right? That's deep. Stand up. Right. And so I think that like plenty of people throughout history that we remember all did that, right? You look at like all the great civil rights leaders, MLK, you know what I'm saying? Like yo, Malcolm X, they all turned down the bread. And they say, nah, I'm doing this for my people. And they developed social capital. And what do? Now we name streets after them. We name schools after them. Mm-hmm. People still quote their books, you know what I'm saying, in their speeches. So I think a lot of what you're saying is true.
I want to ask Leonard this question, because Leonard, my people. So,
what's that say about me and you, Charles?
Bring it on.
What's that say about me and you?
I like Leonard, because you know what? Leonard bring the African perspective.
Divine and conquer.
Exactly, from the roots.
So we all some fools.
Exactly.
If we don't have an African perspective,
true original people.
Oh, so we ain't original.
Exactly. Oh, listen, we bootleg.
Bring it on.
So we ain't talking about some BS.
Bootleg. Yeah, I want to hear no theory. Bootleg theory.
Oh, you're man.
Nah. But what's your question?
Nah, my question is, for example, right, if we use the continent of Africa, right? Mm-hmm. Is anybody poor over there, from what I understand on TV?
No. Misconception. But go ahead. Ask the question so I can bring it down. Bring it home.
Yeah. Is it true that you can have the social and cultural capital and be rich? You'd be rich off that.
Yes, you can. But here's the thing. Let me put it into perspective, right? Because I know people are listening. The continent of Africa is the most rich, resourceful continent on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. And because Africa built American capitalism and European capitalism, you name it. Because we got to include the spiritual capital when mm-hmm. we talk about money. When we talk about even God and money and faith. Because it's funny how, and Charles know this thing, because we are people of African descent. And then when we talk about money and financial stability, you got to be able to put that spiritual capital in there. So here's what I mean by people talking about God and money and all that. But you I remember how the pastor was saying, like, listen, man, read the story of Jesus and Martha. Jesus, Martha, and Mary. Right, Jesus went in there, sharing the story, preaching the gospel, and Mary was like, "Well, why is she so busy? She's supposed to help me in the kitchen, and stuff like that." And she's listening to you. Jesus was like, "Listen, she's doing the right thing, in a sense, putting God first. God will take care of the rest because we worry." So I think the question at the end of the day is this, man: when money becomes the root of depression, of anxiety, and all the bad stuff in the world, what does that say to us as a humanity? Right? Because we have a lot of young people out there listening. So what does that say to us? That's the question. If money started, is money the root of all evil? Is money a good thing or a bad thing?
Come on, Leonard. I think, Leonard, you're getting deep. You know, because it also goes to, what's your definition of rich?
Come on.
You know, and I'm telling you, my definition of rich isn't how much money I have.
What's your
bank,
values?
Yeah. Right? My definition of rich is connected to my values, right? My
have you always values. Felt that way, though?
Listen, I had to get to that point. Okay. Yeah. But I've yeah. also was never at a point where I thought that money was the everything, right? Okay. I saw my mom have money one moment, then money was taken away from her. Mm-hmm. So I never put much value on money because mm-hmm. of my mother's relationship with money, mm-hmm. right? Which was very traumatic.
Okay.
So I said I would never be in that position, right? And my mind and my emotional health would not be connected to whether someone could give it to me or take it away to the extent that I won't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
I need to have some inside.
Come on.
If this money disappears tomorrow, I will be fine. Mm-hmm. And I always want to be in that state of control. Because mm-hmm. for me, if I'm focusing too much on getting that money, someone take it from me, I'm gone.
Yeah.
I'm gone. And I would never allow no one to have that much control over me. So my definition of rich is emotional happiness.
That's a
emotional
good question.
That's my definition of rich. But we all have different definitions.
Yeah, right.
Let me pose this question to all of y'all. Have you ever been fired from a job? And how did you feel if you did? And what did you do?
Oh, I have. Listen, I used to do a bunch of temp jobs, so that they let me go. I get fired for whatever reason. The next day, I go to church and pray.
Okay.
Now, what was interesting is,
that's
a good question. I'm saying it's because it's like,
he's speaking from the roots. Yeah. Right. Tell
so you. What I'm saying is, that where's that coming from? That peace within, the happiness. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't be depressed and lose mm-hmm. my mind. Yo, I lost my job. They let me go. Yeah. It was automatic embedded in me that the root of happiness is not connected to money. It is important, of course, and it makes it so difficult when you live in a society that we live in, because you travel the world, there's so many poor places, but people laugh and smile.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's real. How about you guys? You guys have been fired from the job? I know. Of course, Tori ain't never been fired from a job, y'all. Come on.
Tori never had any experience.
Tori only, all he knows is winning.
Never been fired from a job. You didn't live.
No, but you know what, though?
I think at some point you should make it a point to get fired from a job. Just to have that as experience, yo.
This is the thing, though, right? Never been, right? Uh-huh. Perhaps should have been.
Ooh. Okay.
There's a difference now.
There's a fundamental difference, right? It depends on what spirit you bring into the space.
Yeah.
Which, what are you going to lose if you fire me? Mm. So yeah, the money you're paying me, it's all good, right?
Yeah.
But is it worth, it's worth sacrificing me? So what I like to do to bring to the space is to bring that spiritual capital to the environment.
Okay.
And what would it mean to be without me?
Okay.
If I'm not going to bring that, then I shouldn't be there.
Yeah.
I'm all about that spiritual capital.
Let me tell you something, man. I've been fired from a few different jobs. Yeah. And each time I've been fired, it's funny because I always have a different experience. One time I got fired from a job. We ain't got to bleep this. It was Whole Foods. I got fired from Whole Foods in high school. I'm trying to cut down on my cussing. I hated that job. Let me tell you something. I worked in Newton, and some of the people who came through that store were like such jerks, yo. Like they just like they treat like I was an employee there, and they reminded me of that every single interaction. You know what I'm saying? And they'd be like, why can't you make this happen? I'm like, dog, because I stock shelves. Like, I think you want to talk to a manager. You know what I'm saying? But like to be in that kind of position and then to get fired, I remember thinking to myself, I was like, yo, I can't even stock shelves right. And then after a while, I was like, man, fuck Whole Foods. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't want to pay me. This place just sucks. I was like, just out of high school or something like that. And I just remember thinking, like, this job is awful, right? But one thing that I remembered was, like, Whole Foods didn't pay minimum wage, but I just remember thinking to myself, like, I could get another job that pays this much. You know what I'm saying?
Right, so
it wasn't that big of a deal, right? But then I lost another job that I really genuinely loved. And that, like, hurt me. And it was because I, at the time, was struggling with some issues, and I was just showing up to work sauced up, right? And they found out, and they were like, yo, we really like you. Like again, I had the social capital. They loved me. I was doing a good job. And they're like, but yo, what you're doing is actually harmful, and that might actually end up hurting us, so we got to let you go. And I remember I left. I walked home, which was maybe like a 3-4 mile walk at the time, and I was just crying, and I was calling friends. And I remember feeling like a part of me, like, I blew it. Right. And so I guess like the key thing that I want to like kind of stress here is like for some of our listeners, some of our dads who are listening who may lose a job, how do we help them reframe this from like a personal failure to an opportunity to try something new and better? Right. Because for a lot of people, a lot of people stay in jobs way longer than they need to.
Of course.
Because of comfort. And so sometimes they get let go of, they get fired, they get, you know, laid off, furloughed, whatever it may be. How do we help them get from a place where they're feeling miserable about the situation to embracing this as an opportunity to grow and go in a new direction for better pastures?
Well, just invest in self-love, man. I think I'm gonna pass to Charles to elaborate on that. I think invest in self-love, because self-love will fuel, you know, that motivation factor, right? Mm-hmm. You're not perfect, you're up and down. Even what you just share, it's kind of like you're going through all this, you say, okay, obviously I need the money, but it's more than money. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When you invest in self-love, let that self-love or something bigger than money become the foundation. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you can kind of go through it, you know, right, Doc?
Yeah, my first job was at Pizza Hut.
Come on.
Word!
And come let on. Me tell you, brother, I really enjoyed making the pizzas. Mm-hmm. But they would not let my black behind cut it serve it. You know, so I felt some type of way about that. I see all these other people cutting the pieces and serving the pieces, but I couldn't. They kept me in the kitchen.
Interesting.
So, you know, one day I had created some fuss about it. I said, hey, I need to be able to cut this piece and serve this pizza too. Mm-hmm. I know I'm the only black guy here, but I can serve pizza. Mm-hmm. And they gave me an opportunity to do that, man. And the reason why I share that story is because, you know, if I was to get fired, and I've got fired before, you know, I always think about where I come from and how far I came. You know, that low spot, Mm-hmm. And I always go back to that Pizza Hut when I was talking about cutting pieces. Mm-hmm. Right? There's so many larger issues than you simply being let go. Right? Because you're special.
Oh, because of money.
You're brilliant. Mm. You're powerful.
Come on.
So if you got this job, you can get one better. Mm. Right? And it would never define you. Right? And I think, you know, I tell myself all the time, Pizza Hut didn't define me. I also worked at Publix. Hell, they didn't define me. Although I like, I'm selling that fried chicken and cutting that meat. People have very funny with how they want their meat cut.
Really?
Very thin to thick. Hell, I knew how to cut some meat. And let me tell you, you know, I look back now, being at Father's Uplift, man, and just my wife and I getting into this point, and I look where I come from, man, regardless of what happens to Father's Uplift or what happens to me and my wife, man, I will always remember the time where I couldn't afford anything and I was cutting pizza. Mm-hmm. It can't be any worse than that.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? Listen. And I know whatever happens after this job, if I got fired, something else is going to open up. I think that's a perspective you got to have. You can't lose, regardless mm-hmm. of if you got mm-hmm. laid off, if you lost your money, whatever happens, you have the power to create a different circumstance because you that guy. Mm. You that dude.
And you're worth it.
You know what I'm saying?
You're worth it.
Nah, listen, this has been an awesome talk.
Yeah.
But now we're going to do King's Dilemma, man.
Who we got today?
Listen, Leonard, you ready?
Let's get it. The original answer.
Let's get it.
Yeah. The original people.
Wow.
All right, Leonard, you about to get a phone call from your boy with some interesting news. And you just talk to him.
Okay.
All right. Ring, ring.
What's up, man? Long time.
Yo, what's up, Leonard, man? Yo, bro, it's been a rough day. I gotta talk to you, man.
What's good, man? What's going on? What's going on?
Bro, I just lost my job.
Man, sorry to hear that, bro. What happened, man?
I mean, my boss being kind of a jerk. And today I just told him, man. You know, he's kind of racist.
Yeah.
And like today I just had enough of it, man. Yo, listen, I work in the kitchen, yo. They, you know, I be cooking up these pizzas, yo. They don't let me cut it, yo. You know what I'm saying? They don't let me put it on the table.
Man, listen. Listen.
He's racist, yo.
I hear that, but listen.
He an asshole. I told him he's an asshole. I told him his kids are ugly. I know that was rude.
Really?
But they not ugly. They cute kids. But I want to hurt them. You know what I'm saying? So I said that. They said it was inappropriate. They kicked me out. I'm freaking out. I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent. I think my wife, she probably going to be pissed off because I lost my job. I don't know, man. What do I do now?
Listen, I know it's a lot going on, man. Sorry you lost your job, bro. But listen, we talked about this last time. That food truck, start your own business. Man, we talked about that because you know how to cook, man.
Yeah,
even though you burned a pizza at my house, but when we had the kid over. But listen.
Yo, that was one time.
I feel like, yo, use that as a motivation, man. This is it, bro. This is a sign from God, straight up.
For real?
You got it in you, bro. You talented, man.
Yo, I don't know. I never
said
that.
Nah, you could
do
it, man. Listen, I go with you, man. I feel like this is it, right? This is a sign. Because you got to understand, you got to turn your mess into a message, man. You got to let them know, like, yo, it's messy, but it's my time. Turn your mess into a message. That's it.
I'm starting to feel that. Okay.
You got this, bro. All
right, man. Listen, I'm feeling a little better, yo.
You could do it.
So, like, because listen, part of my mind was like, yo, how am I going to make this money?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, am I going to have to do something illegal? Am I going to have to go work at another pizza shop? Do I go into flipping burgers? Like, I don't know what I got, but you think I could do a food truck?
Yes, you can, because you're talented, bro. Listen, use the talent you got to turn it around. It got messy. Now let them know that you in plan. Turn that mess into a message, man. I believe in you, man.
Listen,
I got to go, but I'm going to follow up, man. I'm going to follow up because we got to get into that. There's a lot of resources out there, man. You got, what was the name of the business you was talking about? Remember you were talking about the Saudi food truck?
Yeah.
That's your homework. All right. Find it out. Let me know. Got to go, man. Peace.
Word,
keep pushing, bro. Let's talk.
You're looking out, man. Oh, that's dope.
Boom.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, man. We'll be back next week with some more stuff for you.
Yes. Stay uplift.
Peace.